Further ado, I'd like to introduce Mickey B.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mickey Bush, and I'm an alcoholic. Probably an addict, too. I introduced myself in Alcoholics Anonymous as an alcoholic and probably an addict because that's the way we like it done. We like to identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. So that's what I do. Identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm a real alcoholic. So as a real alcoholic, I have the right to as many dysfunctions as I like. Don't tell me I can't be messed up in lots of other ways too, you know. So, being a real alcoholic, I introduce myself as an alcoholic and probably an addict, but, you know, because I'm a real alcoholic, I also do loads of other things too, you know. And as a result of that, I go to Narcotics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous and other anonymous programs. And when I get to speak in those meetings, I identify as an addict and probably an alcoholic. Because that's the way they like it done too, see? So I don't have a problem with that. I hope you don't either. You know, the truth of the matter is, and I know some of you guys here and glad to see you again. You know, the truth of the matter is that you guys know me pretty good, and you know that if there's a 12-step program of any kind, I'm a contender for it. It don't matter what it is. Any 12-step program there is, I'm a bloody contender for it, for Christ's sake. You know. AA, NA, CA, ACA, Overeaters, Little Peters, it don't matter what it is. Yeah. If there's 12 steps attached to it, I'm a contender, for Christ's sake, you know what I mean? Actually, me and Scott went to one of them Little Peter meetings, but they wouldn't let me in. Said I didn't qualify. What, you black folk think you got a monopoly on that or what? Oh, look at this. Here's a good light. Look, things don't change in AA, do they? Look, double-handed drinker, look. I'm glad to be here in Crescent City. I've never been here before, and it's really pleasant to be here. I've had a great time while I've been here. You guys have really welcomed me and made me feel comfortable, and you know, that's really nice. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be most places I go today, as a matter of fact. You know, I'm a grateful kind of a guy, as a matter of fact. I didn't really know that, but I am. I'm a pretty grateful kind of a guy. I didn't really know either. All my life, I've had reason to be grateful, and I never really knew that. You know, not when I was drinking to do all the things that we do when we're drinking. I mean, right from the very day I was christened, I've had a reason to be grateful. I mean, my name is Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush. Think about that. Mickey Bush. That puts me somewhere between a mouse and a president. You know, at any given time, you're likely to find me in that spectrum between a mouse and a president, you know. And believe me, I am really grateful my name ain't Harry. Can you imagine going through life with a name like Harry Bush? Don't laugh, you sick lot. You're bloody sick lot up here. I thought you might have been better off, Buffy. No, I can tell sickos when I see them. So I'm a grateful time of a guy, and I'm glad to be here, and I thank you for having me up here and coming up. I enjoyed myself immensely. A great day today. And I want to thank Kenna for a wonderful talk this afternoon. Everybody agrees she had a wonderful talk this afternoon. Small lady with a big message. So we've been out sailing all day. We've been sailing all day. Garrard sailing. Everything I'm wearing I got from Garrard Sail. I'm a Garrard Sail junkie. I love going Garrard sailing. Met some great people today. So, and I loved reading the theme that you have for your convention here, your rally. Personality change. C-H-A-N-G-E, change. Choosing honesty allows new growth every day. I like that. And it quotes, and it's from As Bill Sees It on page one, as in the book As Bill Sees It. It has often been said of AA that we are interested only in alcoholism. We get beaten over the head by the number three, don't we? That is not true. We have to get over drinking in order to stay alive. But anyone who knows the alcoholic personality by first-hand contact knows that no true alkie ever stops drinking permanently without undergoing a profound personality change. That's great. Never get over alcoholism permanently if you're taking drugs either. So yeah, we're talking about alcohol, we're talking about alcoholism, but it has to incorporate all mind-altering chemicals and that affect us from the neck up. And I see a lot of people here suffering, a lot of people under the delusions that they can do other things. And you know, the disease is very cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it tries to get us screwed up in any way it can. And one of the main ways it gets us screwed up is this so-called drug of choice business. And, you know, tries to get us to believe a lie, that it's okay to do some of this other stuff that's about. And I don't know, you know, what you do and what you don't do, and I don't really care. But all I do know is that if you want to recover, we have to quit all mind-altering chemicals that affect us from the neck up. And I know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of real alcoholics, good alcoholics, don't like hearing about drugs in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're a real alcoholic that just and only drank alcohol, you know, that didn't do any drugs, and I know there's some people here that didn't do any drugs, that just and only drank alcohol. If you're a real alcoholic that just and only drank alcohol, I'm really glad you're here. If you're a specialist, you know, I'm really glad you're here. But I ain't no specialist. I always drank, always, always, always drank alcohol. Never remember not drinking alcohol, as a matter of fact. But I didn't only drink it. I always drank it, but I never only drank it. I also did loads of other things, like drugs. Drugs, 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 drugs. So if you're a specialist that didn't do any drugs, I'm really glad you're here and we need you. But I ain't no specialist. I'm a chemical gourmet, me. I told my sponsor I'm a chemical connoisseur. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're a chemical kind of sewer is what you are, he said. So to clear the matter up, this year I've spoken at 4 young people's conventions this year. You know, icky pars and ooey pars and up yours pars and all the other pars, you know. International Convention of Young People in AA, you know. You're familiar with the young people in AA, right? The icky pars and stuff. 4 conventions this year I've spoken at for the young people. And some of those young folks, you know, they've got buku times. They've got years and years and years. I heard one guy share that. He said, I never lost everything. I don't even know what you're talking about, having lost everything. He said, I lost a skateboard once. sober many years. But in four young people's conventions that I've spoken at this year, I always make a point of asking, is there anybody in the room that just and only drank alcohol? And you know what? In four young people's conventions this year, not one hand was raised. And where are they? That's the young people that are coming through. And why I say that is that sometimes we cast judgments around here and real alcoholics are suffering because we're prejudiced. And we're prejudiced to the extent that, you know, we say things that we mustn't talk about this and talk about that. I was just in Vegas and about 3 weeks ago, and there's a very well-known Alcoholics Anonymous speaker there, and he was doing a workshop and 3 hour, and you know what, I lost count of how many times he talked about gambling and personalities and this and that. And I thought to myself, I get told off for talking about drugs, but I don't mention drugs a fraction of what this guy's mentioning gambling, and nobody says anything about that. So alcoholics, you know, we're prejudiced in a lot of ways. So I don't want to do that, and I don't want to be part of that. But I do want to carry the message to the alcoholic, the real alcoholic that I am, that is not okay to do mind-altering chemicals. See? And you just don't get that personality change. See, if for no other reason, doing a mind-altering chemical of any kind is giving God the finger. Now, do you think I knew I was giving God the finger when I was doing all those other things? I never knew, but I was. See, in our beautiful book, page 86, says, God gave me a brain to use. Well, if he gave me a brain to use, he gave me the brain he wants me to have. Well, if he gave me a brain he wants me to have, he gave you a brain he wants you to have. He don't love me no more than you, or you no more than me. He gave us a brain he wants us to have. Well, I've got to have some big-ass balls, haven't I, to say, well, up yours as far as my mind's concerned. Because as far as my mind's concerned, I'm going to alter my mind with this mind-altering substance. Thanks for my life, and thanks for her and him and it and everything else. But as far as my mind's concerned, that brain you give me, I want to alter it with this mind-altering. Well, what else would you call it but other than giving God the finger? And we can't get clean and sober and recovered while we're doing that. So that's just one little thing that I like to say. There's a lot of things that I hear around here that I kind of refute. I call it lip-flapping party line bullshit is what I call it. Yeah. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who invented it, but, you know, it's kind of like weird and loads of stuff we say around here that has nothing to do with nothing, and yet we all walk around here saying it, you know. One of those things is we're all the same distance from the next drink. We're all just one drink away from a drunk. We're all the same distance from the next drink. Doesn't matter how much time you got. Where the hell does that come from? I don't know where that comes from. It ain't true. We're all the same distance from the next drink. Who the hell said that? It ain't true. Are you trying to tell me that this guy over here, who's diligently working his program, who's doing the best he can on a daily basis, that's making a conscious contact, that's like going to meetings, that's doing commitments, that's being of love and service, that's sponsoring guys, that's being sponsored, that reads the book, that like does everything he can on a daily basis, is the same distance from the next drink as this dick over here who ain't doing shit? It ain't true. No. Nice flappy little thing to tell a newcomer. No. How about the other one? The newcomer's the most important person in the room. Who the hell said that? I was talking to two of the troops down in San Fernando Valley. They said, you shouldn't talk to me like that. I'm the most important person in the room. Ain't nobody more important than anybody else in Alcoholics Anonymous. We hear a lot of stuff around here. I don't know where it comes from. We hear people get to podiums like this and claim that everything they're saying is strictly their own opinion. Do what? You think I've got the balls to stand up here and give you a bunch of opinion? Ain't nothing in the beautiful book about opinion, strength and hope. And yet you hear speakers up here say, everything you hear from me is strictly my own opinion. It's like some form of AA etiquette that you're supposed to say in case someone gets offended or something. You think I'm going to stand up here and give you my opinion? No. Everything I talk about to you will be my experience, like the beautiful book talks about. And it's very dangerous, you know, because old farts and speakers get up to podiums like this and they say everything they're talking about is strictly their own opinion. And then the newcomer hears that, then he thinks his bloody opinion counts too. And why wouldn't he? And it don't. But what would they hear us say it, so why wouldn't they? And they've all got their own plans, haven't they? You know, the newcomer plans, as Scott says, the next book he wants is the book of newcomers' plans. I love that. They got the plans. We got the plan. We got the plan right here. The plan of action, the design for living, the blueprint for life. We got the plan. What the newcomers got is plots. Plots and schemes, that's what they got. Have you heard them? Plots and schemes, I know. I don't know where that shit comes from anyway. We hear people walking around and saying, I choose not to drink today. And I go, what? If I could rely on choosing not to drink today, we'd have a different ball game going on here. I choose not to drink today. I think, well, piss on you. I wish I could rely on choosing not to drink today. I can choose not to drink today, but I can't bloody rely on it. It's easy to choose not to drink today. I did it 3 times in 1 day once. But if you're standing outside a liquor store or a crack house, you better have more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. Just say no. There's a doozy in there. How about that one? Just say no. Just say no to a full-blown alky like me. Just say no. Don't drink and use no matter what. How the hell do you do that? I never tell a newcomer to go out and don't drink no matter what. I know we do. But alky can't do that. An alcoholic will drink no matter what. And when we tell someone to go and do something that they can't do, then they do. They go out there and they can't not drink and use no matter what. And then they think what we got in here don't work for them because we seem to be telling them to do something that they can't do. I don't tell them to do that. Say, hey, listen, if you don't want to drink no matter what, allow me to work my program by being of love and service to you. Come in here, come and stick with us. Let us show you, teach you, and love you until you can learn how to do it yourself. I don't cast somebody aside to tell them to do something they can't do. I don't even know where that comes from. There's another one. God won't give you more than you can handle. Do what? God won't give you more than you can handle. If he didn't give you more than you can handle, you wouldn't need his bloody help with it, would you? I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where a lot of that comes from, to tell you the truth. But you know what? I didn't even know what it was about me that made me an alcoholic. Everything I tell you up here is going to be like, in retrospect, everything I know about myself and about the disease and about alcoholism, about recovery, is all in retrospect. I never knew none of this when it was going on. I never had a clue about none of this when it was going on. I never knew nothing about nothing. I know that differs to you because you seem to know, for example, why you drank. I don't know why I drank. I've no idea why I drank. I hear you guys sharing at meetings and you share about drinking to cover up the pain, and you drank because you couldn't stand who you was, and you drank because you were just overwhelmed by feelings. And I think, at what stage of the game did you discover that? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine going into a pub and saying, "Hey, bartender, hit me with a triple shot of your best shit, because I can't stand who I am and I want to cover up the pain tonight." It never happened. I don't know where that comes from. But you guys seem to know why you drank. I never knew. I don't know why I drank. I just drank. Everybody I knew drank. I didn't know anybody who didn't drink. You know? I didn't know. I mean, everybody drank. Everybody where I come from in London, England, northwest London. You probably picked up on that, right? I'm from northwest London. This is the way I talk. Alcohol didn't do this to me. And everybody drank. We drank if the team won, we drank if the team lost, and if it was a tie, we drank till there was a result. That was all there was to it. You know? Everybody drank. Everybody drank like me. I drank like them. I don't know. I didn't. Well, there were some weird people that didn't seem to drink like us, but as I say, they were weird. They did weird shit too, like talk to police and shit. I don't know anyone who did that. No one I knew did that. But I drank. I just drank all the time. I never knew anything else. I don't know why I drank. Not till I came here. You know, I just did. I just didn't know nothing about nothing. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983... January the 15th, 1983 was the first meeting that I consciously remember going to. And I say that because I was being 12-stepped. I didn't know I was being 12-stepped, but I was being 12-stepped by a guy who had 2.5 years sobriety, English rock and roll singer he was. And he told me afterwards that he had in fact taken me to a couple of meetings, but I don't remember. Because I'm a blackout drinker, by the way. Any other blackout drinkers here? And the rest of you lying mothers, I can tell drunk. God damn. See, and so I'd been to AA meetings a couple of times before, but I never knew. The first meeting that I consciously remember going to was January the 15th, 1983. And I never knew nothing about nothing. And I'm not just saying that to make a point or something. I literally knew nothing about nothing. I never knew I was alcoholic. I'd never, like, stood at no turning point, half measures availing me nothing. I'd never done that. I don't know nothing. I don't know anything about nothing. You know? I don't even know what it is to be an alcoholic. I don't know. I was so sick when I got here. I was so sick that I never knew I was sick. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't know you're sick? That's really sick. And I don't know whether you know whether you're alcoholic or not, but I didn't when I got here. I was so sick I never knew I was sick. Maybe you can relate to being as sick as I was. When you're so sick... This is a clue. When you're so sick that you come into a room like this and you look around the room and you think, "Oh, well, at least I'm not as sick as him." Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't think you're as sick as someone else? That's really sick. Really sick. So if you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic in here tonight, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. It's really sick. I never knew. I never had a clue. I just never knew nothing. Never had a clue about nothing till I came here. And, you know, I don't know whether I've been told it beforehand or not. I may have been. I don't know. You know, I may have been told I'd been in all kinds of institutions and I'd been locked up and incarcerated and brutalized and chained down and shot up with drugs and zapped on machines, and none of that ever worked. None of that ever got through to me, you know. So I don't know whether I'd been told or not, but I got to tell you that I got a hearing problem as well, you know. I don't hear shit right. I don't know whether you got a problem in that department or not, but I have. I just never hear things right. I just don't. All my life I seem to be in trouble simply because I don't hear shit right. We were at lunch here, and the waitress like came by and said, "Excuse me," and I said, "Seduce you? I'm eating dinner." I thought she said, "Seduce me? I don't hear shit right. I never have." It never happened just because I got here to recovery, you know. I've always had a problem hearing shit right. Years before I got here, when I lived in my mum's house in northwest London, my mum still lives in northwest London. She's 83 years of age and just a dynamic lady. I would come home when I was a young dude to her house, and she never missed a trick, my mum, you know. I don't know whether you got a mum like my mum, but my mum just never missed nothing. Maybe you are a mum like my mum. I really did think my mum had eyes in her butt, you know that? I mean, she just never missed nothing, for Christ's sake. And I would come home and be stumbling around downstairs, and she would be in bed upstairs, of course, and she'd yell out down the stairs, "Drunk again, son!" And I'd go, "So am I, Mum!" See? Because I don't hear shit right. And she'd say, "I'm not bloody drunk, I've been in bed since 8 o'clock, what the hell's wrong with you?" And I still wouldn't get it. I'd think, well, why did she say she was drunk then, you know? Are there any other weird people here tonight? You know? I seem to hear that all my life. What is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. Do you know that? You're weird, you are. You know what? You got problems. You're weird. What is wrong with you? And they would ask me what's wrong with me as if I knew. They would ask me what's wrong with me as if I could give it. What is wrong with you? Oh, well, actually, I've got a twofold disease. It's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. I can't control my drinking. I don't know what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? See, I don't know. I don't even think there is nothing wrong with me. I'm bloody perfect. Always have been. Perfectionist I am. Perfectionist. People say that about me down in LA. So I'm a perfectionist. Like, I don't know when I became a perfectionist. I was thinking about it the other day. 1966, when I got released from another maximum security prison sentence, I got released. I can't remember how many release dates I've had from various institutions. I tried to work it out a little while ago, couldn't come up with it. But I've been clean and sober many, many times. Every time I got released from an institution, I was as physically sober as I stand before you right now. I've been sober many, many times. But I never had anything like what we read in your little pamphlet today, personality changes. I never had no beautiful program, Alcoholics Anonymous, no 12 steps, no design for living, a blueprint for life. And 6 weeks after I got released from that maximum security prison sentence, as physically sober as I stand before you now, I was chained down in a nut ward for the criminally insane, puking straight up in the air on a murder charge. And I'd killed a guy, and I don't know why, what, when, where, what I'm doing there or anything about it. And I was in a cage like bloody Hannibal Lecter, padded, manacled, chained, completely insane. There was a guy whose job it was, when you're on those sort of charges under those conditions, it's their job to observe you 24 hours a day. So there was a man designated to observe you 24 hours a day. Piss, shit, puke, insanity, in a cage. I was thinking, when people like walk by, parole people and governors and observers, and look at you, and they look at you in a cage with all that shit and everything else. And if they'd said to the warder, well, what's this story? I bet the warder wouldn't have said, oh, him, he's a perfectionist. He's a perfectionist, him. So I don't know when I became a perfectionist, but I got to that meeting. Today I know that I got to that meeting as a result of having hit bottom in alcoholism, full-blown alcoholism that I never knew I had. And I didn't know what hitting bottom was either. You guys have taught me that since I've been around here. I didn't know what hitting bottom is. And I asked you guys, and you guys told me all kinds of weird stuff. And I asked you guys today, and a lot of you don't know, and I think it's one of the major factors that 95% of us in Alcoholics Anonymous are not making it over the long haul. There has to be reasons for that. We've got a program that we declare really works, and yet 95% of us are not making it. There has to be reasons for that. And I believe one of them is that most of us never really understand what the true meaning of hitting bottom is all about. And I ask folk, and they tell me that they hit bottom, you know, in various ways, and they say things like, everybody's bottom's different. I don't know where that comes from either. You know, everybody's bottom better be the same. You know, I didn't know what hitting bottom was all about. You guys taught me. See, I thought the same as what I hear you guys say, that hitting bottom is about how low I went and how far down I went before I did something. And it's not. See, I described hitting bottom the same as I hear you guys describe hitting bottom, in terms of the outside circumstances in my life. And of course, hitting bottom's not an outside job. Hitting bottom's an inside job. I hear people talking about their bottom as being the circumstances of their life. All kinds of circumstances we go through. Sometimes those circumstances are so devastating that they make us capable of becoming capable of hitting bottom, but in and of themselves those circumstances is not the bottom. And we say, you know, well, I hit bottom because the kids were taken away from me, or I was broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted, or I was hustling the Broadway, feet to the curb trying to earn a dollar, or I was locked up in a penitentiary married to Bubba, you know, and we describe bottoms in various ways similar to that. But that's not hitting bottom. That's outside circumstances. Hitting bottom is an inside job. Hitting bottom's not an outside circumstance. Hitting bottom's an inside job. That's why the beautiful 12 and 12 describes it as why all this insistence that every alcoholic must hit bottom first. And I never knew, you guys taught me, but at the time it had happened, and I do believe God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. See, hitting bottom wasn't an outside circumstance. Hitting bottom was an inside job. And hitting bottom wasn't about the material loss and all that. Hitting bottom was about that pain and despair and that hurt that alcoholics in full-blown alcoholism go through. Hitting bottom is that time when you just hurt and you just cry, help me, what is wrong with me? I can't stand this anymore. Anybody relate to that? And you know what? It was almost like the old man was looking over my shoulder and he said, Mick, you silly bastard, I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over that 12-step program over there I've provided for you. Sent me to you. Holy shit. I asked for help, and he sent me to you. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. Holy shit. I asked for help, and he sent me to you. Whew. And sitting on my coffee table that day was a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and a meeting guide for Los Angeles. I don't know where it came from. I never knew who it was or what it was, but it was there. And God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Today I know that. I flipped open that meeting guide, not knowing where it was, and there was a meeting just down the road that I could walk to on San Vicente Hill in West Hollywood, Los Angeles. And it was a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that I could walk to. I had to have a meeting I could walk to because the little car that I had in the garage hadn't run for 3 months and wasn't bloody likely to either. You know? So I walked down here. I don't know why. I never knew nothing about AA. I never knew nothing about nothing. And I walked down to that meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It later transpired that a girl that I was renting a bedroom out to in my one-bedroom apartment... I'd rented the bedroom out and I had a mattress in a closet, you know, and just off of the lounge. And I told you it's West Hollywood. West Hollywood's a very special part of Los Angeles, you know. It's commonly known as Boys Town, if you don't know what I mean. Don't clap on your own, someone will throw you a fish. This Boys Town is a type of town, just a place to live, nothing to do with nothing. If you're gay, don't be offended. It's just it's a kind of town, if you drop your wallet on Santa Monica Boulevard, you've got to kick it up to Sunset before you can pick it up, you know what I mean? And when you come out of the closet in West Hollywood, it takes on a new meaning, believe me. But it turns out that this girl that I was renting this bedroom to had been busted on 2 drunk driving charges and had been sentenced by the courts to AA. And you guys had given her this book and this meeting guide, and she'd brought it home and left it on the coffee table, and didn't do her any good, but it was there when I needed it. And I walked down and joined you. That was January the 15th, 1983. I never had no desire to quit drinking. I'd never tried to quit drinking before that. I didn't know nothing about you guys. I didn't know nothing about nothing. But I haven't had a drink since January the 15th, 1983. And you know what? On that very first meeting, you guys told me what was wrong with me. And I wasn't an alcoholic because I drank too much. I was an alcoholic because of something else. And you guys told me on that very first meeting. I didn't fully understand it then, but I do today. This guy got up in my face, little guy, he wasn't very big like that. And you got to bear in mind, I'm like coming off of a run and I'm hurting because I'm a full-blown alcoholic, but I also do mountains of drugs, good drugs and bad ones. But I'm not the kind of drug addict that comes out of a blackout and says, oh, thank God I thought to put this gram aside for the morning. I don't have no spare grams for the morning. So I'm hurting and I'm dope sick and I'm grey and smelly and foreign and loud and dangerous. And this guy must have had the balls of 12 men, man, because he got up in my face like that and he went, you're an alcoholic! I said, what? You're an alcoholic! I'm an alcoholic? You're an alcoholic! Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic! I thought, that's bloody mean to say a thing like that. Don't even know me. What do you mean? You're an alcoholic. Alcoholic? Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a goddamn duck. Just because it's been taking some shit and thinks it's an eagle, no. You're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack, he said. Holy shit. I've been quacking around here ever since. Alcoholic. I thought about that. Alcoholic? I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholic? Wow. Alcoholic, for Christ's sake. I'm an alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. Alcoholic? Far out. Far out. Alcoholic, for Christ's sake. They've been locking me up in nut wards all my life. I ain't nuts, I'm alcoholic. Far out. That was like a step up for me. Wow. I couldn't wait to run home and tell my best pal, the pal that very morning had told me to piss off. I said, hey, guess what? I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Everybody knew except me. Alcoholic told me the truth. Couldn't believe it. Alcoholic. Holy shit. Alcoholic. But that guy had been told me the truth that I didn't realise for a long time. He told me what it was that nobody else had gotten through to me until I got here to you guys, other alcoholics, one alcoholic relating to another alcoholic. And you told me the truth that nobody else had gotten through to me. All my years of incarceration and all the stuff I'd done, nobody had ever got through to me until I got here, which is the magic that we have that no one else has around here. You know? Told me it's alcoholic. Said if it looks like a duck, it's a duck. And therein lies the key. See, I didn't know it, but I'm an alcoholic, not because of what I do, because I'm an alcoholic. I ask you guys, what is it about you that makes you alcoholic? And you say, well, I can't control my drinking, I've got a twofold disease, and one's too many, and a thousand not enough, and all the other stuff. That ain't what makes you an alcoholic. What makes you an alcoholic is the fact that alcohol changes your perception of reality. Alcohol changed my perception of reality. AA changed my perception to reality. I call it a nerd remover. I call alcohol for me a nerd remover. It removed the nerdness. I feel like a nerd. I drink and I don't care if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and I don't give a shit whether I'm a nerd or not. It removes the nerdness. I feel like a nerd and I drink and you're a goddamn nerd. Screw you. See? It takes away, that changes my perception of reality. It don't do that for my three sisters and brother. That's what happens when we come together, don't we? We come together because those outsiders, they don't understand. My own mum don't understand. My mum loves me dearly. She don't understand this disease. She suffered the ravagings of it, like from me and my dad, but she don't understand it. Every year I go home to London, England, where my mum lives, and I walk in my mum's house. I say, Mum, I'm 16 years sober. She says, so is the cat. She don't give me no pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. I mean, we know about that, don't we? We come, that's why we come together, don't we? That's why we stick around here. That's why when I asked for help, he sent me to you. I asked for help and he sent me to you. And here's where I'm staying. I'm staying right here with you. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here with you where I was sent when I asked for help. I ain't leaving. No one's running me out of AA.
Or risk the Pacific Group not liking me. I asked for help and I was sent to you, and here was the power, like our beautiful second step says. In and of myself, I was powerless. In and of myself, I was powerless over alcohol. I didn't know I was powerless over alcohol. I didn't know what that means. I asked you what it means, and you guys seem to tell me what you do because you're powerless, not what powerless is. And see, today I do know. In and of myself, I was powerless over alcohol. I was powerless over alcohol because alcohol made me do what I already didn't want to do. When I absolutely didn't want to do it, when every fibre of my body was against doing it, when every desire I had in the world was to not do it, I did it anyway. Anybody else do that? No shit. I was powerless over alcohol because it made me do what I already didn't want to do. And I couldn't just decide not to do it, because when the disease I got that I'm powerless over made me do it even though I didn't want to do it. I didn't know that. I got to not want to do it and then do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I don't know what these steps and this work is, or I'm not doing these steps and this work, I will do what I don't want to do, because the disease I got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. I'll do it, but it's the disease I got that makes me. See, I don't want to drink, but I got a disease that does. And that disease that does is more powerful than my choice not to. So I'm powerless. When I say I'm powerless over alcohol, I'm actually conceding that there's a power greater than me, isn't there? Alcohol. And I got to recognize that I'm powerless over it, but it's not powerless over me. It can and does make me do what I don't want to do. Powerless. Think about it. I don't hear people talking about this, but powerless. As far as alcohol is concerned, I have no God in my life when it comes to alcohol. If I'm truly powerless over alcohol, I can't turn it over to God. How can I do that? If I've got a God to turn it over to, I ain't powerless. And if I am powerless, I ain't got a God. And if I have got a God, I ain't powerless. I can't have it both ways. I hear you guys walking around saying I'm powerless over alcohol. Powerless over people, places and things. Well, to me, that's just the disease getting you to deny a power that's in your life. Don't do that. See, how can I say I'm powerless over alcohol when I, in desperation and despair, I've hit bottom and invited the power into my life? He's come in and sent me to you. Here, right here, now, me plus you is a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. When one alcoholic comes together for the purpose of recovery, which is the third factor, we never wrote it, we never invented this, but we can believe it. Every known denomination say it, that when two are gathered in my name, I will come in your midst. That's not new information to us. When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, God comes in our midst and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it. It's right here, right now. And it's a power greater than ourselves, like the second step says. Okay. Now, in the first two steps, do you see God, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Mashiganovich, higher power? Do you see any of those names mentioned? No, because they ain't there, that's why. It says a power greater than self. I was powerless, and he sent me to you. God produced this power sufficient to restore me to sanity, which meant not drinking. Because you guys described insanity as being repeating the same behavior and expecting a different result. Drinking. So to be restored to sanity meant not drinking. And so here we have a fellowship, a 12-step spiritual fellowship that we can absolutely depend upon to enable me to not have to drink. And that's the foundation of every 12-step program there is. Two people of a like kind come together to do something that they couldn't do on their own. And we have it right here, right now. First two steps. You think I knew that when I got here? Didn't know that. Never had a clue about that. In and of myself, I was powerless. Powerless over alcohol. Powerless over alcohol. Not people, places and things. I don't know where that shit comes from. Ain't nothing to do with addiction. Ain't nothing to do with alcoholism. Everybody is and isn't powerless over people, places and things. Nothing to do with nothing. You think the bloody Pope don't get up some days and say, why do I have to wear this bloody hat? No one else has to wear a hat like this. You think Granny Clampett ain't powerless over Jeffro? How about the old Russian dude with the purple blob on his head? You think he ain't powerless over purple blobs? Yeah. Nothing to do with nothing. We're powerless over alcohol. So we need to be specific about asking the power into our life as far as alcohol is concerned. Because he's here for the rest of our affairs. He must be, mustn't he? He must be there because I'm here. As far as alcohol is concerned, I was powerless. And when I asked the power in, he sent me to you. And I think about it. I asked the power for help. He came into my life as far as alcohol is concerned and sent me to you. Here's a beautiful 12-step fellowship, a fellowship we craved, our book says. In this beautiful fellowship, you guys introduced me to a big book, B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. In the beautiful book was a program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. Holy shit. You said it was a design for living, a blueprint for life. A program of action, A-C-T-I-O-N. Any change to improve our nature. Holy shit. You said it was a 12-step spiritual program. S-T-E-P-S, steps, solution to every problem, sober. You said if you want to quit drinking and don't replace it with the steps, you go crazy, you go nuts. N-U-T-S, not using the steps. They say there's nothing worse than the pain of an alcoholic who goes back out to drink again and has a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. You've heard that, right? That's not new information. But I'll give you something that's much more painful than that. You stick around here in Alcoholics Anonymous and get a sober belly without a head full of AA, and you will hurt like you don't want to hurt if you're alcoholic. You said if you want to work the steps, you need help. So you'll need a sponsor. Sponsor? What do you mean, sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. No shit. That's another thing about our beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It says our book is meant to be suggestive only. Well, it may have bloody well meant to be, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions and rules to follow. It just so happens if we do, don't we? It just so happens that if we do what was been taught by the people that went before us, we seem to be able to live happy, joyous and free, don't we? We seem to be able to do the things around here and not drink anymore. That's what it is. So I'm powerless and my life's in the gutter. My life's completely unmanageable, which is to think inside of the powerlessness. I invite God into my life. As far as alcohol is concerned, he sends me to you, the 12-step spiritual fellowship. You guys give me a big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. In the big book is a program of action, a 12-step spiritual program of action. You invite me to invite a sponsor into my life. Today I sponsor other people. So I got a God in my life, I got a fellowship, I got a big book, I got a program, I got 12 spiritual steps, I got a sponsor. Today I got sponsorees. I got so much bloody power over alcohol, I don't know what to do with it. I said to my sponsor, what should I do with all this power I got over alcohol? He said, give it away, he said. Go up there to bloody Crescent City, they won't want it anyway. I got so much bloody power over alcohol today. If you read our first step, it says we admitted we were powerless, that my life had become unmanageable. Not that I am powerless and it is unmanageable. Some old fart said the other day, well, try drinking and we'll see how much manageable. Hey, tried drinking. If I'm drinking, I've long ago give God the finger. But I ain't going to back away from you. I ain't going to back away from you and stop coming here where I was sent. Because then I would revert back to self, and in and of myself I'm powerless. But not when I'm with you and when I'm making a conscious contact with the old man every day. Every single day, including the day my first consciousness, the very first conscious awakening I have, I make a conscious contact with the old man that you guys taught me how to do. I say, hey, old man, what you got for me today? He says, come on, kid, we got some work to do. And he sends me back to you again today. First thing, very first thing. Now I'm not solo, am I? But if I back away from you, and if I stop coming here, and if I stop doing the things you taught me to do, I revert back to self, then I'm screwed, because then I'm going to be powerless over hell. But I ain't going to be solo on my own again. I'm staying right here with you. All the people that relapse and drink again, all the people that have one of those little slippy poos, you know, after they've drank, and they make it back, some of them, they all tell us why they did it. They can all tell you why they did it. Oh, well, I wasn't going to meetings. I'd cut back on my meetings, and I'd never actually really done a fourth step, you know, and I'd fired my sponsor. After they've drank, they can all tell you why they drank. But if you tell them that they're going to drink before they drink based on what they're not doing now, they'll go, screw you. Yeah. It's like you get somebody to read the book like in our book studies, and all kinds of stuff comes up, and I watch folk and I say, look, how come the book's just told you a direct quote what's going to happen to you, and not one of you threw the book against the wall, said, piece of shit book, thinks it's a guru. But if I tell somebody what's in the book, they say, up yours, who do you think you are? Strange that, isn't it? So I was powerless over alcohol. I was sent here to you, and here was the power. Here was the power sufficient to enable me to not have to drink. In the first two steps, like the beautiful 12 and 12 says, we have warped our minds into such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from us. We've warped our minds. I can't think straight with a warped mind. Do you know what warped is? I can't think straight to make a decision in three with a warped mind. So in the first two steps, I can unwarp my mind and get an understanding of God so that in three I can make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I've understood God. Understood is a past tense word because the understanding comes from one and two. Holy shit. Wow. You think I knew that? I never knew that. The book contradicts itself as far as the step is concerned and as far as after A, B and C. The step says, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we've understood God. The book then after A, B and C says, we turned our will and our life over to God. A totally different thing. I tried turning my life over to God. Bugger turned it right back. Said, I don't want it. I gave it to you. My old white Jaguar sports car like taught me about the third step. I got a white Jaguar sports car. 12-cylinder white Jaguar sports car. Why wouldn't I? I'm a limey, for Christ's sake. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 cylinders. Nothing wrong with that. I just went down, and believe it or not, I went down and got a license plate for it. I just registered it, and my license plate is AA12X12, AA12 and 12. You know, that's the license plate on it. Anonymity up there. Wazoo as far as my license plate's concerned. But my old white Jaguar sports car breaks down because it's a limey piece of shit is what it is. And when it breaks down, I have to take it back to the mechanic I got it from and put it in the care of the mechanic for fixing and repair. But I don't give the bastard my car. It's my car. I put it in his care for fixing and repair, but it's my car. DMV wanted their money from me for it. But when it needs fixing and repair, I put it in his care, the same mechanic I got it from. And the next thing he wants me to do when I take my car to him is turn around and get the hell out of his shop. He don't want me hanging around making suggestions. And he certainly don't want me lurking around trying to help him with it. He wants me to let go and get the hell out of his shop. The next time he wants to see me is when I do my part, which is pay the check. That's what he wants me to do. And he fixes and repairs my car. Third step. See? You think I knew that when I got in? Never even had a bloody 12-step sports car. I love being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just love it. And 16 and a half years down the road, it's even more exhilarating to me than it's ever been. I'm more thrilled about being among you today than I've ever been. I'm more active today than I've ever been. I've cut down a bit on my meetings. I'm down to about 10 a week now from about 15. But I love this book. I understand it more today. I love the name of the book. I love everything. Do you know what the name of the book's really about? Look, I could have said this and sat down. I don't know how long I've been yakking it up here, but Alcoholics Anonymous, look. A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S. Look, Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S. Alcoholics Anonymous. This is what it really means. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. That's all there is, really, isn't it? I could have said that and sat down and saved all your bladders. That's why AA's are us. Just like Toys R Us. You know, AA's are us. AA's are us. Alcoholics Anonymous, Recovery Unity Service. Get it? That's where we are. That's why we can do other things that other people can't do. We come together as a group and we can serve each other like no one else can. That's why powerless. I can't believe it. I can't believe people walk around here denying the power that's in their life. Absolutely, like, incredible. That's why I love the same page as Kendra loves, page 132. At the bottom of the page. Anybody read this book, by the way? It's a good idea. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the bar. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. Holy shit. We have recovered and been given the power to help others. What a gift. Isn't that our primary purpose after all? Stay sober and carry the message. Powerless? If I'm powerless, how can I do that? I can't do the 11th step. Whew. You just reminded me of my mum then. Sick lot, you lot. My mum ain't sick like you lot. She don't laugh at seemingly tragic experiences out of the past. She never used to laugh when I used to come home and puke on the cat. Because I'm a puker too. Is any other pukers here? No shit. And I ain't no dribble-ass puker like... I'm a goddamn directional puker, me, man. Like that, large chunks. I could hit your foot from here, like that. My mum never laughed over that shit. Have you ever puked on a cat? That's weird shit, I tell you. You come home and you're all lit up and you know it's going to happen, you know. I mean, you can just feel it coming, can't you? And you swallow it back down. What, does yours taste better than mine? And you know it's coming, it's going to be a gusher, you can feel it. Right on the cat. And you look at it weird like that.
Holy shit, I don't remember eating that. Oh, you did that weird shit, huh? And then the cat gets up and runs off. That's weird shit, you know, like bits of carrot hanging on it and shit, you know. Where does that carrot come from, for Christ's sake? I mean, I can promise you in my entire life I never once sat down and ate a diced carrot. But every time I puked, there the bastard was. Diced carrot. Carrot and corn. Carrot and corn. You ever done? That's weird shit, I'll tell you that. My mum don't laugh at shit like that. I say the word shit a lot, have you noticed? I like the word shit. Your shit, my shit, no shit, you're full of shit. S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. Yeah. Some of you think I'm full of crap. Well, crap is C-R-A-P. Carrying resentments against people. Yeah, no shit. And I got news for you. If you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic, here's a little clue. You better not have laughed in here tonight. Because they say if you're laughing, you're relating. And if you're relating to a sicko like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. I don't get through to well people, you know. Well, people don't laugh at my shit. You people laugh with me. We laugh together, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. The language of the heart, man. The laughter we share. Heart, H-E-A-R-T. Healing, enjoying, and recovering together. That's what we do here. That's the language of the heart, isn't it? That we do here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And why shouldn't we? Recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and the power to help the next guy. Holy shit. And you know what? You take a candle and light another candle, and the candle that did the lighting loses absolutely nothing by lighting another candle. A candle that lights another candle loses absolutely nothing from lighting another candle. And the glow from the second candle makes the light brighter, doesn't it? And that's what we do here, don't we? You try doing it. All the things that we do around here that we not only must do to save our own bacon, but we get to help the next guy too. Holy shit. That's incredible. Just like you guys taught me on that very first meeting. That very first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was dazed and confused and just didn't know what to say or do. And I got home and I sat down and I went, wow. And I didn't know it, but I've been an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous from day one. I never knew it at the time. And I say to you new folk here, if you don't understand what we're saying here, everything I tell you is all in retrospect. Everything I tell you is just what you guys have taught me. I didn't know about it at the time it was happening. And so stick around with us. Stick with us here, because if you don't understand it now, more will be revealed, and down the road a piece you might understand it a little bit better. But I never knew, I never understood that I was an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous from day one. But I was. You know why? When I got home from that very first meeting, you guys had done what we do around here. I got home from that first meeting and I had two telephone numbers in my hand. I had two telephone numbers. I didn't know what the format was. I didn't know what the process was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do or nothing. But guess what? I called one of the numbers. And a dude answered the phone. And I said, I don't know who you are, pal, but I got your number in my hand. He said, oh, I remember you from the meeting today. Oh, I said, was you at that meeting? He said, yeah, I gave you the number. I went, oh. I said, what about them meetings? He said, what about them? I said, you go to them meetings? He said, yeah. I said, how long have you been going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, 4 months? What does that mean?
He said, I'm clean and sober 4 months. I ain't had a drink for 4 months. I said, holy shit. Wow. I said, do they have them meetings at night? He went, yeah. I said, can I go to one of them meetings with you tonight? He said, well, look, he said, normally, he said, I would be going to a meeting tonight. He said, but I've made arrangements to go to a movie tonight. And I went all little again. You know how you go all little, us alkies? I went, oh, all right, don't matter then, don't matter. And he picked up on it. He went, holy shit, he said. I said, what's the matter? He said, wow, he said, you may have just saved my life. I said, no, I never done nothing. I didn't know it was a disease of denial. D-E-N-I-A-L. Don't even notice I am lying. He said, you may have just saved my life. I said, what do you mean? He said, here I am 4 months sober. The slip starts somewhere. He said, and a newcomer wants to go to a meeting, and I tell him, no, I'm going to a movie. Holy shit, what's wrong with me? I said, what's the matter? He said, where do you live? I'm coming round to pick you up. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, what about your movie? He said, you're much more important than a movie. I went, I am? Came round and picked me up. He was bloody weird as well. He was a weirdo. I went out to his car. He had a little red Fiat sports car. But it was all decked out like a Mercedes. It had a big Mercedes emblem on it and Mercedes shit on it. I didn't know it at the time, but I was getting my first lesson in grandiosity. But he took me to a meeting and he got me a copy of the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous, just like this one. You know, I don't really know how to end these little talks any more than you do, but I thank you for being here and I thank you for my fellowship from you. My telephone numbers, I got 3 telephone numbers down in Los Angeles that I give out. I ain't broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted today. I got more than I need of everything I need. Everything I need, I got more of it than I need. I'm a rich man today. I own 7 houses. I just bought another house. I don't tell you that to brag about what I got. They're all gifts of the fellowship, gifts of this program. I got 7 big houses. I run sober living houses. All my 7 houses are full up with drunks. I live in a double-wide trailer in a trailer park. But what's most important is that conscious contact. And today I have 3 telephone numbers to be able to give you. My 3 telephone numbers is 818-R-U-S-O-B-E-R. Are you sober? Like Toys R Us. R-U-S-O-B-E-R. Get it? My second number is... Are you clean? R-U-C-L-E-A-N. 818, R-U-C-L-E-A-N. My third number is 818 area code, R-U-S-T-E-P-1. Are you step one? So it's are you clean? Are you sober? Are you step one? 818 area code, not 800, cheap bastards, 818. And I give you that because that's what you gave me on that very first day on January the 15th, 1983. And I thank you. Call me. I love hearing from you. I love to be a part, a small part of a great whole. And you know what? I've never had it so good. And I don't know how to tell you this any more than the truth of what it is. My personal relationships are manageable today. I can relay these principles to all my affairs. Now, I don't know about you guys. Maybe you're better up here at relationships than us down there. I don't know. I keep trying, but it don't seem to work, you know. I wrote a word for relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Really exciting love affair. Turns into outrageous nightmare.
Sobriety hangs in peril. Oh, you're a sick bunch down up here too, huh?
I want to leave you with the most common phrase in throughout the world. I've been on all five continents in Alcoholics Anonymous, and throughout the world, the most common phrase in recovery is those little words, those very first words that I ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous was what you said to me. You said, keep coming back. That's what you said to me. The first thing I remember in Alcoholics Anonymous is you told me, we love you, keep coming back. And guess what? Keep coming back ain't in the book. So if someone says, if it ain't in the book, it don't count. You're number one with me. But please do it anyway. God bless.